Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
It's never wrong to give to someone who is poor and hungry. Doesn't matter what nation they're in. Now, you might think you're going to get a greater blessing because you give it to Israel, people who are in Israel, because God said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you.
God calls us to be generous, to help those in need, whether that's our neighbor or someone we don't even know who lives on the other side of the world. As believers, we need to give from a right heart, helping other believers and also helping those who might come to know Jesus because they see His love and generosity in us. With part two of our study out of Romans 15, 20 through 33, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. In fact, it goes on to talk about a lot of reasons that two are better than one. And there are a lot of reasons for us to get to know one another, to develop a relationship, to be there for one another, and to encourage one another. We can help each other along. And Paul sees that clearly. In verse 26, for it pleased those in Macedonia and Achaia. Macedonia is north of Corinth. That's Thessalonica and Philippi. Remember, Philip of Macedonia was Alexander the Great's dad. That's north of Acadia, which is where Corinth is at. And there's an isthmus there. You know what an isthmus is, right? So an isthmus is a small piece of land between two seas. You have the Ionian Sea on one side and the Adriatic Sea on the other side. And to go around it to get to Rome, from getting to Greece to Rome, which is fairly close, you have to go around Sicily to be able to do that, and it's very dangerous. So they had this isthmus there, and that's why Corinth was there. And they would put the ships onto carts, and they would wheel them across this land bridge that was a couple of miles. Now there's a canal that's there. If you ever go there, you got to stop by the isthmus and see the canal, and the biggest ships still go around, because the canal is not big enough. It's solid rock and it's deep. It's amazing that they ever got it built, but they actually did build a canal down that isthmus. So he says, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to meet a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. Now, this brings up a few issues. Number one, Paul is collecting money for the saints who are in Jerusalem. Today it's an issue whether or not we help Israel as a nation. Today it's an issue as to whether or not people give money. I had a message left for me on one of our social media platforms where whoever it was upset and questioned about giving money to Israel. And I had to write back and say, I'm not sure if you're talking about whether I agree with the nation giving Israel money or whether I agree that individuals should give people in Israel money, because I wasn't sure exactly what he was upset about. But let me say this. It's never wrong to give to someone who is poor and hungry. Doesn't matter what nation they're in. Now, you might think you're going to get a greater blessing because you give it to Israel, people who are in Israel, because God said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you. People want to make that a nation call or an individual call, but you might think you get that. There are groups that raise money for people that still live in Israel who are from the Holocaust, and they're barely making it. There are some who are extremely poor in Israel, and giving to them is a good thing. It's not a bad thing, but it's not a bad thing to give money anywhere, to Ecuador or Brazil or wherever there's poor people. It's not a bad thing to give to them. Now, how much of a dent can you make, even if you're really well off, to the poverty that's in the world? Well, that's not what we're trying to do. Christianity had been small for many, many years, but they were encouraged to give to the poor, extremely small. And there was no way they could make a dent in the poverty that's out there, but they could help them. And today there's an argument as to whether or not the government should take our taxes and give people subsidies, or whether that's the church's job. Listen, it's both, because there's no way that the churches could do it. There's just not enough people or churches to be able to meet all the needs that are out there. So yes, churches should do it. And it should be churches helping Christians should be the greatest thing that you do. That should be the greatest call. If you are a Christian and you're struggling financially, then we should help you. And we should help one another. When there's a need and we need to gather together, and we've done this before, because a Christian family was burned out of their home, we collected money for them to be able to rebuild their home. And that's the right thing to do. It's right for us to reach out to other Christians. That's what Paul's doing. Paul's collecting money from Macedonia and Achaia for a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. So they're helping Christians by what they're doing. Doesn't mean we don't help non-Christians. The Bible's pretty direct, though, about what kind of people we help. And a lot of people don't like this, but we believe that God's word is God's word, and it is meaningful. And so God's word says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So they would not be ones, someone who's not working, who is fully capable of working. Obviously, if they have a condition they can't work, well, then that takes them out of that loop. But if they can work, if they're able to work and they don't, then they would not be ones who would receive money. That's what the Bible says. You're not doing them any favors by giving them money when they can work and they don't work. And to some, that seems awfully mean, but I think to God, it's mean to go the other way. For someone just to exist and not work at all when they can work is not a good thing. And so there are always rules. Our deacons oversee our finances for helping people. There's always rules, and sometimes people don't like the rules that we have, but we have those rules for a reason, because resources are limited. We have a food pantry, and we open it up to give to anybody who has a need. But giving to Christians is, first of all, what Christians should do. Then we should also have compassion on those we run into. The rich man and the poor man, they both die in the same day. One's in torment in hell, and the other one is in Abraham's bosom. It's not a story about hell. That's where people always go with it. The rich man was blessed in his life and had more than he could ever possibly imagine. The poor man sat at the gate at the rich man's house, and the dogs licked his wounds, and he ate the crumbs from the rich man's table. He didn't even help significantly a poor man that he saw every day at his house. That's the story. The story is, if there's someone in need and you're able to help them, then help them, whether they're Christians or not. Yes, we're to help Christians, but if there's someone in need, it doesn't matter. If they're in need and they come into our lives, then we want to help them. How do we tell the person holding the sign if they're really in need? And I don't know how to answer that. You guys know who John Strossel is? So he does just different stories on what's out there. And he did a story a while back on how a lot of people hold up those signs and they're not really in need. They're not who they say that they are. So you just kind of got to go, I give to them at times and at times I don't. You just got to try to go with the spirit, and you try not to be hard-hearted. You try to be compassionate where there is compassion, but you just don't know. And so we all struggle with that. And there's not a right or wrong answer to it. Although people try to make right or wrong answers to it, there's not a right or wrong answer to it. I'll put 100 ones in my car sometimes so I can hand them out. What does it really do if I hand somebody a couple ones except help my conscience, right? My conscience is being helped in that situation. I don't know how much that person is being helped, and you don't know where the money's going to go. And so even in signs, they'll usually say, give to organizations that help the poor, don't give to them, because you don't know where it's going to go to. So those two issues here: should you give money to Jerusalem? You can pray and seek God on your own. Don't let other people tell you what not to do or to do. If you want to give money to Jerusalem, you're fully welcome to do that. There's a lot of anti-Semitism today. A lot of people that hate Israel, a lot of people denying that people are in Israel, are from Israel, which, by the way, they are. We know who the Jews are. Hitler knew who the Jews were. They had a very distinct lifestyle and a very distinct line. And because of the persecution, some did indeed hide who they are because of the persecution that they faced. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So our direction in giving is to give as we purpose in our hearts to give. That's the only New Testament encouragement that we get. Jesus said, "Give and it will be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." We give sparingly, we receive sparingly, but tithing isn't in the New Testament, and we're told to give as we purpose in our hearts. So you get to make those decisions. I just say, be a generous person. That's why we got the passage that says, "Give and it will be given back to you," so that we know God sees when I give to someone. And by the way, if I make the wrong decision, if I see somebody and I decide I want to help them and they're fakers, then I don't think that God's going to judge me for that. I think God's going to look at my heart and go, he really had compassion and he really wanted to help the person who's there. And we don't give so we can get anyway. It's just God saying, it's okay to give. You might be scared and think, I can't give, I can't be generous, but God's like, it's okay. I'm going to give back to you when you give, because God wants us to be givers. Even a glass of water given in his name, you will not lose a reward. So even giving a glass of water, there's nothing too small to help someone that you won't be rewarded for. So 15:27 says, "It pleased them indeed that they are their debtors." The gospel, the Messiah, the Christ, the Old Testament, all came out of Israel. All came out of Jerusalem. So he says, we're debtors to them. We owe them. I have a friend of mine who was very significant in my life as a teenager. And when he's asked me something, I've said to him, yes, certainly, because I owe you. I owe you because you took time for me. And I feel like there is an indebtedness that's there when someone takes time to help you spiritually. And so he's saying it was through the Jews. So we want to help them. He's collecting money from around the world to go and help them. So where would Paul fall on the idea? Do you help the Christian Jews who are impoverished because they've been removed from the synagogue? He would fall on the line that you help them. He is helping them. "It pleased them indeed, for they are their debtors," the Gentiles that he's collected money from, "for the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things." Like I said, we got their Old Testament. We got the Bible from them. We have Jesus who was Jewish, which I think people forget when they start hating Jews. All the disciples were, everybody in the story, except for Pilate, who's Jewish. It says their duty is also to minister to them in material things. So there's a duty to minister in material things. This is a duty for all of us to those who are poor. I say, give to the church, because God has established that the church does what we do by that, but give to the poor as well. Give to those in need. Let God bring people to you. Find a way to give. He goes on to say in verse 29, "But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in fullness of blessing of the gospel of Christ." He says, whether you give to the cause or not, I'm collecting money from you, but whether you give to the cause or not, I know I'm going to be blessed in Jesus Christ. Verse 30, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." Paul thinks that prayers are important. We talked earlier about providence, God's foreknowledge, God knowing our decisions that we made, God knowing our destiny. But Paul doesn't see any of that changing. Paul talks about those things, but he doesn't see any of that changing. He says, "Now I beg you." He's going to beg them for prayers. "Brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ." That's how you pray, through Jesus. Why does he say through Jesus? Because it's through Jesus that we have boldness to the throne. There's no other name given unto heaven whereby men can be saved, but there's no other name by which you have access to God. He is the one mediator between us and God. So you've got to go through Jesus Christ. You can't say, well, I just follow God, but I don't follow Jesus. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. And so you go through Jesus. And this is not just saying in the name of Jesus, which you can say or may not say. There's never a place where it says, say in the name of Jesus. That's what we add to the end of prayers. And I always add it to the end of my prayers, okay? And I feel awkward when I don't. If I end praying and I don't do it, then I'll say it out loud, in the name of Jesus, just because I feel like it has to be done. But that's not what through the name of Jesus means, or through Jesus. We're going through him to get access to the Father. And through the love of the Spirit, he's saying, be driven by the love of the Spirit that you strive, that's effort, together with me in prayers to God for me. Paul is in a crucial spot in his life. Things are dangerous for him. He says, I strive for your prayers. When you need prayers, ask people, beg people as Paul did, because our prayers for one another make a difference. When someone asks for prayers, I try to make it a habit. We try to make it a habit, me and Kathy, to pray for them immediately so that we make sure that we do it. 2 Corinthians 1:11 says, you are helping together in prayer for us that thanks may be given to many persons on our behalf. Then in Romans 31, just a couple more verses, we'll be done. That I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. Judea is Jerusalem. We know what happens to Paul in Jerusalem, okay? And if this is a spoiler alert for you, I'm sorry. He gives his testimony and is arrested for self-protection because when he tells the Jews he was called to the Gentiles, then they want to kill him and they attack him. And there is a centurion who steps in and literally saves Paul's life. He steps in on a greater level and gets a detail together to take Paul to Caesarea by the sea because there's a group of people that want to ambush him along the way. It's all in the end of the book of Acts. Just skip to the end and you can read about Paul and his concerns about Judea that he writes to them here. So Paul, now here's the funny thing. Paul's in probably when he's writing Romans is in Ephesus. He could go right to Rome one way, but he's going backwards to go to Jerusalem to go back because he's feeling compelled now to go to Jerusalem and give an offering. It's probably a Nazarite vow, which is a vow to get closer to God. And he's feeling compelled to go and do it, to go to the temple. The temple hasn't been destroyed yet. It won't be that long before it is, but it hasn't been destroyed yet. So in verses 32 and 33, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. So he wants to show up with joy. He wants to be refreshed with them. He believes that they have stuff to offer him. He has stuff to offer them. He'll go as a prisoner. He'll go under house arrest. Then the people from the Roman church will come to meet him. That's how it will all end up happening. Verse 33, now the God of peace be with you all, amen. I love that the letters in the Bible end with things like the joy of the Lord be with you, or may the God of peace be with you, or may you be filled with all grace. May grace and peace follow you. One pastor I was listening to earlier today said, I love peace. I'm like, amen, me too. If you've ever had a house that doesn't have peace, or maybe if you're in one now that doesn't have peace, you realize how important peace is. May the peace of God be with you. You know what it's like when your life is in turmoil because you don't have peace inside of you. Now may the God of peace be with you all. Notice it's the God of peace who is with you all. God comes into our lives and brings us that peace. And he ends this section by saying, amen. He's not done yet. Like a pastor that says four in conclusions before he actually concludes, which I try hard not to do, but find myself doing it still. Paul wraps things up only to keep on going. He's like, I got a few more things that I need to write. Three things in closing. Trust God when he reshapes your steps. When you have plans, but the plans go a different direction, trust God. You make your plans, God directs your paths. Paul lived with delays and frequent changes in direction. Hold your plans with open hands, being willing to have them changed. Number two, let generosity widen your reach. Help those who are poor and hungry. Help those in the church. If you are in need, come to us. Come and talk to the guys that are down here in the front. We'll get you connected with who you need to be connected to be able to receive some help. But help those who are in need. Help the poor. It is something that God blesses. Even a glass of water given in the name of Jesus will not lose its reward, Jesus said. You say, well, I don't have much myself. I'm a person that needs help. Well, still help. Find people to help. God will help you. And finally, ask God for strength, the strength that you lack. Ask him to give you the strength to be able to do the things that God's calling you to do. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul leaned on the prayers of others. Let your weakness become the place where God meets you, where God uses you, in your weakness. It's just such a principle that I see so often. And I can tell you at times when I've been unprepared because something has arisen, not because I've been lazy, but something has arisen that has kept me from being properly prepared. And then I give a message and it's like, you know, God just gives you a little extra. The power of God is obviously there. God will, in our weakness, he is strong. And in your weakness, he will be strong as well. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, as we see Paul coming to the end of his life and speaking to a group of people he's never met and yet he loves and longs to see them, we pray too that we would consider our lives and that we don't know how much longer we have. May we be faithful in ministering to people who are in need. May we have hearts for Jerusalem, for the roots of Christianity. We study the same Old Testament heroes. And may we have a heart for those that are in Jerusalem. Lord, may this hatred of Israel, this anti-Semitism, may it cease. We pray. I pray for those that are here that don't know you, that they would make commitments to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.